Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know that God has called us, and we're preaching on it here today, and we still have several weeks to go, that we are to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in those three commands, all of the scriptures are wrapped up. And as we give ourselves to those truths, so too God gives us the transformative power of His Holy Spirit, that we may be changed to the very core and be once again the image of God in this world, though it be an imperfect image. Can I get an amen, church? And in that we strive for the perfection that we will reach one day in glory at the side of our Lord. Amen and amen. Well, today we're going to move forward one more piece of how we are to love God. Again, we have three commands, but this first command has four parts, because God looks at it and says, I need you to understand how to love me, because we do not know how to love outside of God, for God is love. Can I get an amen, church? And when we are not in God, when we are not in Jesus Christ, we cannot love. Now, there are going to be folks who are going to disagree with me and say, oh, no, that's not true, because, you know, I don't have anything to do with Jesus, and yet I love people. No, that's not eternal love. That is temporal love. That is selfish love. That is self-love. When we begin to understand what God's talking about here, it transforms us, that we become an eternal form of love, and that eternal form looks entirely different, because God is so much different from us and this world. Can I get an amen, church? So today we're going to do our checkup once again. Okay, first week we looked at the heart, and then we looked at the soul, and now we're going to look at the mind. And as we look at the mind, we have to think about where things are going. What's happening in our world? What's happening in our lives? And how does this mind pull all of this stuff together? Now, some of us are out of our mind. Okay? As a friend of mine, he used to say they are outside their mind. Okay? I'm not sure how that works, but that's okay. Because we can look at our world and we can see things are pretty crazy out there. All right? And we need to understand that that is a form of dysfunction. How many of us today, and don't raise your hand, I want you to think on this, okay? How many of us are dysfunctional? And I can guarantee you right now, every person should be saying me. And no, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about you. And myself is included in that. Yes, and you too. Because we're all dysfunctional. So when we begin to look at this, you know, one of the places that, you know, I always go when I'm talking about this, and I'm not going there today, is Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And it says that we are to renew our minds in Christ Jesus, okay? So again, it's coming back and thinking, okay, well, what's wrong with my mind if I need to renew it? What's wrong with it? Well, it's filled with sin. Your mind is tainted. My mind is tainted. How many of you in this last week thought wrong thoughts? And you all know what I mean by wrong thoughts. Every one of us know what wrong thoughts are. But yet, we are supposed to love the Lord our God with all our mind. How do I do that? Well, I've got to throw another question out there before I can answer that question, because this is personal, okay? What are you manifesting in your mind? What are you manifesting in your mind? What do I mean by that? Because people are like, well, what does manifesting mean? Manifesting means what thoughts move you in what direction? What are you perceiving and becoming? Because that's what manifesting means. To manifest means to think on a thing towards its goal, to bring it into being, okay? God manifests Himself to us through the Holy Spirit. How many of you can see God today? I can see God today in everything that is. When I think about that, okay, how many of us were outside this morning and you saw the fog? All right, it was foggy here this morning. Did you see God in the fog? Yes. Pastor, how did you see God in the fog? Well, as soon as I saw the fog, it reminded me of the book of Genesis. How many of your minds went there? Because there was no rain in the beginning. God would bring the dew down upon the earth and then pull it up. Pastor, your mind is weird. Yes, thank you. Because I try to think on the things of the Lord. I try to manifest in my life the things of the Lord. Was it always that way? No, absolutely not. I would manifest the things that I wanted to manifest. And I would also allow the world to manifest things in me that I necessarily didn't want to manifest. What am I talking about? Well, that's what we're going to get into here today. Because I want us to understand what you perceive, what you manifest, is going to determine whether or not you're loving the Lord your God with all your mind. What do you give yourself to in your recesses of your mind all the time? How many of us worry? How many of us complain? How many, you know, I can keep going down that list, right? That's the things of the world. How many of us find joy in pain and suffering and sorrow and heartache? And the pastor, that's weird. That's the Lord. In all things, we can find joy. But you have to look for it. You have to control this thing. We're told to take captive every thought, aren't we? How do I do that? They just run away. How many of you have runaway thoughts where you're thinking about this, and the next thing you know, you're so far down the rabbit hole, you have no idea how you got to where you are, that you can't even find your way back? I think that's amazing because, you know, when I think about this, you know, I'm a pastor, and I love pastors, but how many pastors go down rabbit trails, okay, when they're in a sermon, and they're not looking at their notes? The next thing you know, they are, you know, three counties over. And then they got to bring themselves back, all right? That's what I'm talking about in our minds. Because we literally, that is manifesting things that you don't even want to deal with. But yet we allow, this thing that we can't touch has so much power over us that Satan knows all he has to do is twist it a little bit and a whirlwind starts up. And before you know it, it's a hurricane in your head. Am I the only one that deals with this stuff? Y'all looking at me like, man, that guy's got it bad. Yeah, I can tell by the smiles. We are right over the target. Amen. And in that, I want you to think about the Word of God. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Mark. I told you, every week we're starting with a reminder. The book of Mark, chapter 12. Book of Mark, chapter 12. We've got to begin here because this is our teaching. This is our word. This is who we are. This is what we need to be. And how do we become this thing? Lest God make it possible. From verse 29 in the book of Mark, chapter 12, we read these words. Jesus answered, "The foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other command greater than these." These two commands sum up all of the scriptures, and we know that. And God tells us the third thing he wants us to deal with is our mind. Now, why is it important to love God with all your mind? Why is it important? And this is one of the things that I really want us to focus on today. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. To the book of Proverbs. We are going to be in chapter 3. Proverbs, chapter 3. It's just two little verses. How many of you like to read the book of Proverbs? I love to read the book of Proverbs because almost every verse is a sermon in itself. The book of Proverbs, the way it's written, it is so amazing to me because it's just little snippets of wisdom, truth, honesty, and just gives us God's directives in a very one-line, simple form that all of us can follow. From verses 5 and 6, I want us to read this. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." We need to understand, when we come into this truth, it is the fact that God is saying, don't rely upon your own thoughts. Turn to Me. Why? Why is God telling us that? Because our thoughts will lead into this world because of sin in our lives. Because of who we are not going to think on the things of God. Oh, but Pastor Rich, that's wrong. You know, I think on Jesus all the time. Yes, you do. If you are in Christ Jesus, you may think on the Lord, but not all the time. But the only reason that that happens is because the Holy Spirit is in you. But how many of us travel this road ignoring the Holy Spirit and not walking in Him? Because He's something that we have, and how many of us begin to take the things we have for granted and kind of dismiss them? Well, when we're dismissing the Holy Spirit, it's not a them. He is a He. He is a person. He is our God. And we have to remember, God is not an oppressor. So what we need to do is exactly what it says here in verse 5. If we're going to trust Him with all our heart, we need to reject our own understanding and seek out the Lord. Because as we do, God will make our paths straight. He's going to give you the opportunities, the things that you need to do that are going to keep you on that narrow path. How many of us have wandered off that path, and it wasn't that we wanted to, but because we started down that road and we allowed those rabbit trails that are out, well, I'll get to that later. Well, you know, I don't need to deal with that right now. Nobody's watching. All these different aspects of life are going to come at us, but that's because we're relying on our own. I can handle this. How many of you have literally said that to yourself? Yeah, but I can handle this. I can remember talking to my parents growing up. They would tell me, don't do this, it's going to do that. You don't understand. You don't. I'm better than that. No, you aren't. Because we're all broken. Every one of us is broken. And the only reason our parents are telling us those things is because they've been there themselves. They went down that road. And God's been down this road how many billions of times? He knows the directions. He made the map. He created us. And in that, we need to trust Him. Loving the Lord our God means trusting Him. Wow, did you just put that together? It is so amazing to me. How many of us trust God with our thoughts? Wait a minute. I never thought of it that way. How can I trust God with my thoughts? Well, we're going to get to that. But the second scripture that I want us to understand of looking at why is this so important is another scripture. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah. It's back a few more chapters. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. And we're going to look at one verse. And this is the one verse. The Lord impressed this upon my heart so many years ago. And I pray He impress it upon your heart now. Verse 10. I, the Lord, this is God speaking to each and every one of you. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. Even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. I want you to think about that. I really want you to think about that. Because is it so important what you do or how you thought about it? What did you give yourself to in coming to that deed? I do good things. I'm a good person. You know, I'm not a bad person. No, we're all bad people. Each and every one of us is a bad person. Because when we're doing something, we're doing it for me. Okay? And you know, I don't mean you're doing it for me. You're doing it for you. All right? It's that self thing. We're doing it for self. And God says, no. No. That's why I search your heart. What's your heart? What's your mind on that? Are you doing this for him? Are you doing this for something or someone other than you? Because remember, the next one we're going to look at is love others. Because God says, are you loving me or are you loving others? Are you going? Because he wants to know where your heart and mind is in all this stuff. Are you doing this as the directive that God gave us at the very beginning of time? He gave us dominion over this earth to do what? To be his image here on the earth. Whoa, you mean it wasn't about me? It's never been about me. It's always been about him. Everything is about him. And we were given the ability to be his image. And Satan said from heaven, and I will be like God. And he usurped the authority from man. And now, who does the world worship? The world worships Satan. Because they are a reflection of him. We need to become once again the reflection in our hearts and minds and our souls and strength of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen, church? Is this deep or what? Do you realize your mind is the most powerful thing you possess? It is the very reasoning tool that keeps us different from all the other animals. We have free will. We can choose. We can realize. We can envelop. We can invent. Are you getting the depth of this thing? When we understand that this piece, remember, we talked about the spirit and soul. This carries over into the spirit and soul. This carries over into the heart. Because this is what locks those things in. What we think on, what we manifest in our minds determines what our future is. Because it's what we work towards. And it's so amazing because Satan will lie to us to get us to think on, you know, everybody knows that my feet are bad, right? They're doing great, by the way, all right? I'm doing pretty good. But guess what? They're still messed up. And I'm 61 and I'm dying. That's why I like that song, Leaning, because it feels more like flying, less like dying. How many of you know your body's dying? Yeah, you betcha. As you get older, you really realize it, okay? But it's okay because there's another life coming and I'm going to be flying in that one. I don't have to have a car. I'm going to be able to think myself to where I want to be. Oh, I think that has something to do with the mind. And we're going to be able to do and be what God wants us to do and be in an instant. Because he will be our full thought because he will be all that we are. He is going to have total control over us. We will surrender it in free will. And he will be our every thought. He will be our every desire. He will be our every want. And he is going to be everything that we promote out into the millennium that you were talking to me about earlier today. And then unto eternity, where we will all be like him forever and ever and ever. So connected to him that our minds will never come off of the thought of Jesus Christ. I can only imagine. Wow, can you see the reason for the songs today? Your mind is the most powerful thing on this side of eternity. Think about this. Everything that is man-made in our world came from the human mind. That's both good and bad. And see, we want to, at this point in time, we'll look to the good, right? But we also need to look to the bad. How much bad stuff is out there? How much bad stuff does Satan want us to focus on? Because then we won't see the good. We won't recognize the good. We won't walk in the good. And we'll walk in fear, and we'll walk in doubt, and we'll walk in darkness. You see, Satan wants to control the mind. But God here is telling us twice in these two little scriptures that I read, and there are so many places throughout the scripture that speak to this truth, that we've got to give ourselves to the heart and mind of Jesus Christ. Because God wants to understand our thoughts. God wants to direct our thoughts. And in doing so, we truly show who is our God. Is our God self? Is our God this world, the God of this world? Or is our God holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? What are you manifesting in your mind? When we manifest the things of God, the love of God, the truth of God, the hope of God, the joy of God, okay, all those things draw us back to who is our love. Who is our love? Jesus tells us in the book of Revelation, when he's speaking of one of the churches, you have abandoned your first love. Who is to be our first love? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Are you seeing now just how important these pieces are and why God wants us to reflect on them? You and I have one of the most awesome opportunities right before us every day. And I speak it, I've been speaking it more often now than I ever have before, because I'm seeing, how many of you are seeing the evil manifesting around us in leaps over bounds, okay? So I need to manifest good. I need my life to show good, okay? On my way over here today, driving over here, I had a person do something stupid, and the first thought was, nope, and I stopped. I did. Didn't even come out of my mind. It started to form. You know what I mean? You get to those points, and all of a sudden I said, nope, pray for that person. You're on your way to church. Stop sinning. And I prayed for that because I have no idea what's going on in there. They may be late for church. I don't know. But the reality is, it's taking captive those thoughts before they ever get to form properly and turning them to Jesus Christ, turning them to the Lord. And if you have to, speak. Let your life show what you're thinking, who you are. Because I'm going to tell you right now, your life does show who you are. Your life does show who you are. Think about what this world is trying to do to us right now. They want us to accept men as women and women as men. They're showing us, aren't they? Of course, it doesn't look quite right. And some of us don't wear the Holy Spirit quite well. Can I get an amen, church? Because we're a poor example. And yet we know that because Scripture says that we see as through a mirror dimly. Does anybody understand what that means? I think it's funny because we look at a mirror today and it's a pretty sharp picture of what we look like, isn't it? Well, you got to remember, back in the day when they wrote that, what did they use as a mirror? It wasn't a piece of glass painted with silver on the back. Polished copper, polished bronze, polished brass, polished silver, and if you were really wealthy, polished gold. But how many of you can polish something, a piece of metal, so fine that it's completely flat and gives you a good image coming back? You can't. At least they couldn't. Now we can today because we use machinery to do it. Okay? And you can literally see yourself, a beautiful picture of what you look like. But in that day, it was not flat, so it had imperfections. So how many of you ever have been at the Funhouse and looked at the mirrors at the fun house, at the carnival, or down on the boardwalk or whatever. You know, and you got that one that does this, you know, goes in and out, and you look fat at this point and skinny as a bean at the next point, or it goes sideways, so you're, you know. That's what it's talking about. You could see it, but it really wasn't a very good picture of what you were looking at. And when people look at us, they're going to see the Holy Spirit. They're going to see that reflection. And it's not going to be perfect. And that's where you need to speak, to point out that the imperfections are you. Can I get an amen? But what's your mind look like? Is your mind that warped thing? Or is your mind truly that sharp image of Jesus Christ? And how do we retain that sharp image? The Word tells us that we are to look full into His face. What does that mean? How does that manifest in my mind? How can I do that in my mind that it reflects this that is out there? Well, then that now I can start to answer, how do we love the Lord our God with all our mind? Because now you understand how we manifest. So now, let's see if we can't manifest something else. Something that is a sharper image. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. The book of Philippians, chapter 4. Again, remember, I don't have the words of life, and I don't ever pretend to, because I need these words. I need these words. I need these words. And I say that four times because it's the truth of who I am. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to be in verses 8 and 9. Again, I have chosen small portions of Scripture here today because they're some of the most powerful portions of Scripture that I want you to understand in realizing what God wants from us and how He wants us to go. And now please also look at this, because these next two Scriptures that I'm going to give you come with a promise. Because God, if we do what God says, God brings something to us. God never comes to the table empty-handed. God never comes to the table empty-handed. We do. We don't have anything to offer Him. Can I get an amen, church? We have absolutely nothing to offer God except our rubbish. But however, when we come to God and we apply this Word and become this Word, God gives us promises. From verses 8 and 9. It says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. When we set our minds on the good things rather than the ugly things of this world, rather than on our failing bodies, rather than on our failing families, rather than on our failing marriages, rather than on our failing, the joy of the Lord is the first thing we receive. Because if God is for us, who can be against us? Oh, my heavens, and that is all in the mind. Do you see how Satan wants to tie you up in bad stuff? I think it is so amazing. I have watched wonderful Christians who had given their lives fully to the Lord, and then as they got older, because things weren't the way they were, they didn't have the glory, they didn't have the recognition, all of a sudden their body's failing, and the next thing you know, they're some of the most bitter people you'd ever want to meet. And I wonder why, what happened? Because they weren't loving the Lord their God with all their mind the whole time. They were loving themselves and the accolades that they got. And I want you to think about all these preachers out there. How many preachers are out there that are making millions of dollars online? How many of them are making millions of dollars on the, you know, and hey, I'm going to give them their kudos. There are people coming to the Lord in their assemblies, all right? But where is their life? Because all they're doing is accumulating. Accumulating. I've never seen a U-Haul behind a Hearst. You can't take it with you. Paul says that we are to be poured out as a drink offering. What happens to a drink offering when it hits the ground? Is anybody else going to drink it up? No. No. I want you to understand that thought. When we are poured out as a drink offering, that means everything that we are, it's of no more use except, please remember this, except to bring forth life from the water that is in it. Is there any water in what you're pouring out? And it's got to be life-giving water, doesn't it? We're talking about an offering here. Is there life-giving water in the offering? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But when all we're pouring out is ourselves and who we are and what we are and what we want, what we're thinking on, what is it going to manifest? What is it going to bring forth in our lives? And God says, I will be with you. Man, what a joy that is, because I'll guarantee you, how many of you out there know people that when you are in their presence, you feel the presence of the Lord? Can I get an amen? I know people that I love to be in their presence, because those people, you people, and some of them are you people, okay? I will say that most definitely because I'm talking to my church. I have watched you grow. I have seen you grow. I have seen you struggle. How many of you struggle? But together, we know God is there with us, don't we? And together we get through. Why? Because we are thinking on how many folks, when you're down, you know, and y'all know this, Brother Bobby, Mr. Smiles, okay? He is one of the greatest encouragers any of us have. Is there any wonder he's the president of our church? He is the greatest cheerleader of every individual in the world, except Miss Beth. But that's because they're married, okay? That's because they're married. And it is so funny because, yes, oh my heavens, Bobby is Brother Smiles. And he just pours out. Why does he do that? Because God's pouring out in him. God is pouring out in him. He accepts the good in God. And he admits his faults. You know, that's one of the great aspects of a true Christian. We're not afraid to admit our faults in front of other people, because we know we're a poor reflection, so we're sure to tell people that right away, because we do fall short. But that also then brings hope, doesn't it? Because I don't have to be perfect. God accepted you. Well, then he's got to accept me. And the truth to that reality is, yes, I don't care how screwed up you are. God will take your mess and turn it into a masterpiece. But we have to turn to him. We have to begin to love him with all our mind, which means turning to these good things. Turn in your Bibles to Colossians. I was going to say 1 Corinthians, Colossians. It's just back the next chapter, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And again, I want to end this with these promises, because I want us to understand, in loving God with all our mind, it's focusing on him, that he is our thought in everything that we are and everything that we do. It doesn't mean that you have to do anything other than to think on him. The words that he's given us, the precepts that he's given us, the realities, the truths, everything that is, and you will be loving God, because your life is going to reflect it. From verses 1 through 4. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Can I get an amen, church? This is not our reality. This is our temporal reality. Our reality is in heaven with Jesus forever. Can I get an amen? And that's what we need to think on. Our reality is already seated in heaven right beside the throne of God, and his name is Jesus Christ. And from whence we come, so too shall we return. And we came from God. We have accepted his salvation in the name of his Son. We have been washed in the blood, sealed with the Spirit, and now we are waiting that great and fateful day when we will hear that trumpet, and in the twinkling of an eye we shall be raised up, and we will be with him in the clouds, and we shall rule and reign with him forevermore. And that's not about us. That's all about him, isn't it? You know, I think it's funny because people are like, oh man, I'm going to get to rule and reign. You're going to be so far out of the picture that all they're going to see is Jesus when they're looking on you. And I cannot wait for that day because I don't want people to see me. I do not want people to see me. I have nothing to offer you but Christ in me. Christ crucified, raised from the dead, and seated at the right hand of glory, where we are going to find ourselves. Seated at the right hand of glory. Oh, brothers and sisters, this day I challenge you. Let's pass this checkup. Let's get our minds right. Let's start thinking on the things above, thinking on whatever is good, whatever is noble, all these good things. And as we do, our lives will manifest that goodness into being because it'll transform us and it will transform our world. Now, does that mean everything's going to be perfect? No, we all know that. We live in a broken world. But the day is coming. Isn't that what this last promise is all about? That day is coming. Do you believe that? I want you to speak it. Do you believe that? Live it. Live it well. And if you have to, speak. Pray with me. Father God, we come before you, that we may love you with all our mind. And Lord, we now know that that means to think on you, think on all the good, think on Christ Jesus above, waiting for the day that we will be with him forever. And in that, manifesting those things into our world, that the hope is Jesus the Christ, who is our Savior and in whose name we pray. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.